last recorded words of Martin Luther are simple. We are beggars. This is true. And we're going to look at a beggar today. Taken out of Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. We'll close this chapter out here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon as we continue our journey through Mark. We'll look at a beggar, one who can't hear or speak. And Jesus releases him from both of those impediments, but he does so in a rather strange way and for a very good purpose. And that purpose will come clear as we begin our time together today on Abounding Grace. Won't you join us? With today's broadcast, here's Pastor Chris.
As the Jews had rejected him, he moved into Gentile territory, which we would be, you know, the whole design of the ministry of Acts. It started in Jerusalem and Judea to the ends of the earth. As the Jews rejected, it went out to Gentiles. He moves into Gentile territory, into Tyre and Sidon. You say, where is that in modern day? Well, today we're going to find him in modern day Lebanon. We considered last time that the coming of the Syrophoenician woman, what a training moment that was for the disciples. Jesus had healed this little woman's demon-possessed daughter with just a word, and the effect that must have had for the disciples already were being taught to learn what Peter would learn in Acts 10. We are not to call unclean what God has cleansed. Gentiles are entering the kingdom. Salvation would be for Gentiles too. As we come to our text this morning, we read in verse 31 that he departed again from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now that should be somewhat important for us because Jesus has already sent a great preacher there. This would be my Bible test, and I'd say, who passes it? Who's the preacher that Jesus has sent there? The demon-possessed man who had a legion of demons in chapter 5 who wanted to stay with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go and you proclaim and tell everyone all the things that the Lord has done for you, immediately says he went to Decapolis. He proclaimed it everywhere. Here we are. Somebody's been a forerunner. Somebody's been preaching. It was that man. Jesus' knowledge has filled the area. People want to know about Jesus. People want to see Jesus. They want to hear Jesus. We read that this beggar is brought to him as he walks into Decapolis. We read, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. This man had at some point lost his hearing, and we know what happens when people lose their hearing. It affects the tongue. You are unable to speak properly. It has an adverse effect on vocal use. So you begin to lose the ability to communicate as you become deaf. Or communication gradually becomes unintelligible. It really is an awful infirmity if you think about it. No ability. We take all this so for granted. No ability to hear and no ability to speak. Imagine. Gives us a lot of compassion on those who have these things, right? Should. But for the Jews, that kind of unintelligible speech, they couldn't tell if they were demon-possessed, and so they viewed these people as no better than the demon-possessed. I want you to notice what happens. In verse 33, Jesus takes him away from the multitudes. It's a very intimate moment in the Gospels. He doesn't want a public show. They want the public show. He doesn't want that. He takes this man. No doubt the disciples are there. It's an intimate training moment. Keep in mind, this is not recorded anywhere else in any other gospel. You only get it in Mark. It's probably why for many of you this is very unfamiliar. In this intimate setting, we read that Jesus takes his fingers and goes, and then he goes, after that, all of you are thinking this is really weird. I know you are. What in the world is going on? We're a little bit disconnected from this culture. I don't think we need to get into cultural things. I know healers of the day did all kinds of strange things. Think of the scene. The man can hear nothing. As a result, he can't speak. This man had no ability to listen to a voice, and therefore, he couldn't talk with anyone. So Jesus puts his fingers in his ears. He then spits on his tongue, touches his tongue, and then Mark says he goes like this. Now, the disciples are standing there. They've just seen him grab ears. They've just seen him touch a tongue. They've just seen him look up to heaven and give the deepest sigh. Can you see it? It's okay. It's a visual for you. It's a great sermon visual. You don't need a screen to do it. See it. Eyes lifted up to heaven. I don't know what that sigh must have been like. All I know is the deaf man can't hear it. All he can do is see it. What gets me in that is that in both cases of the healing of the deaf man and the blind man at the end of the second section here, it seems to me that Jesus is communicating he's having a real struggle to do this. He said, that makes me a little nervous. What do you mean he's having a struggle? This is one of the few times you can get a real word picture of the emotions of Jesus in the Gospels. We can get an emotional response. He wants us to take in the emotional response. What is the emotional response? You get it a few times. You get it with Lazarus. When Lazarus dies, that he weeps. He is overtaken in grief. That's an emotional response. Jesus, it's good to know this, isn't it? You get it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's sweating drops of blood and he says, my soul is so vexed, I'm overtaken with grief. And you get it here. Fascinating. A visual of what? You got some choices. Frustration? Concern? Compassion? I think it's all wound up in one. Why is he communicating it this way? I mean, last time he didn't need to go to the little girl. He just said, she's healed. He could have done that. Why communicate a struggle? Why didn't he just say, boom, you're healed? Because he wanted everyone here today to sense the struggle of this. To know the struggle of this. In both cases, the healing didn't just happen without some real effort and time given by the Savior. Now we're training, keep in mind. So the total scene of silence, there's no noise, hands and ears, touches a tongue, looks up to heaven, sighs with a deep emotion, and then gives us a word that in Aramaic is so difficult that the man's probably reading. This is what deaf people do. They learn real well to read. Epaphra. It's hard to pronounce. I tried. That is, be opened. And finally, after all this, this grand dramatic display, we read that his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loosed so that he spoke plainly. For the first time, he's hearing and he's speaking. Why is he doing all of this? The key to it's found in the next chapter. Look in chapter 8. The Pharisees come and ask him for a sign. You'll notice that. In verse 11, look at verse 12. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Then he says to his disciples in verse 17, who are asking him, where are we going to get bread and food again? Are you kidding? You're still asking that question? He says to the disciples, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? The disciples had been listening to his preaching now for a long time. They still have not seen. They still have not heard. The disciples had the ability to speak, but they're not speaking. They had not heard, even though they had heard. The unbelief is a marvel. Training time. Think about this. These are pastors going out. They have to understand this. These are his disciples. And he's giving them an intimate moment to display for them, to their weakness, their need that they're not getting. What a message here. What a message here. He needs to lay hold of their eyes. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul, when he had been converted, that said scales fell from his eyes? He needs to lay hold of their eyes. He needs to embrace their ears and unstop them. And he needs to loose their tongues to proclaim him. And he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one. For he came from heaven, and with sighs and groans and in prayer, he says, be opened. And that struggle is pictured here with this man, was a visual of their struggle. He was having them to think about hearing and seeing and confessing the grace that he must give to needy beggars. He has got to give grace to needy beggars, or there's no way anyone's ever going to see or hear or speak, even though you hear, see, or speak today. But they haven't recognized that need. They've got the Life is Good t-shirt. They had just watched Jesus heal a Syrophoenician woman to make a sermon illustration of faith, but now of a beggar who comes for mercy, right? And they needed to go through this. The disciples needed to get on their knees if they're going to be effective in carrying this anywhere. They needed to become beggars. Do you understand this? I've been saying this in our series with Mark. It's challenged me greatly, and I'm a pastor. It's challenged me greatly, just as much as it challenges you, and I say these things to me. I've been saying this. You can hear sermons, and I can say you can preach sermons, and never truly hear sermons and never truly preach sermons to you. Do you understand yet? This is what Jesus kept asking. Are you still without understanding? That's the punch of this. Let me ask you, have you come to Jesus as a beggar? Have you? Have you said, Lord, I'm blind. My ears are stopped. I have no life. I really don't even want to be listening to your word in church. I have no interest in this. Just going through the motions. Would you touch them? Would you? You say, how do I know if he's touched them? Your tongue is going to loosen it. When the ears are hearing, your tongue loosens. And that's what Jesus has to do for you, and that's what he has to do for me. He must take his hands of healing, and he must touch your ears, and he must perform a miracle in your life for you to be able to hear and to see. Every one of you. You understand the beauty of what Anna just did? It was a visual of Jesus, who had already touched her ears and touched her eyes, so that today she says, I do. That's why we take making vows in the church very seriously. It's part of using your tongue to say, I believe. It's a response of those whose ears are unstopped and tongues loosed. It's a much bigger moment in the Gospels than you realize for the disciples. It's fascinating. It's amazing right now who is proclaiming, isn't it? It's just remarkable. The sense you get is, once Jesus does this, everyone is blown out of their minds, and they're all proclaiming now. The man and the friends who brought him. Where are we? We're in dog realm, by the way. We're among the dogs. We're in Gentile. We're in Lebanon. You know how Mark, what he says about this deaf man, you're going to love this. This is one of my great exciting things I get to do and be a pastor, is to see something and then get to tell you. The word that he chose for deaf, do you know it's the only time it's ever used in the New Testament for this man? I won't quote it. It's the only time in the Greek it's used in the New Testament. Now, whenever a writer's doing that, he's doing something big. You say, well, where did he get it? Where did he get this word? It's not the general word. There's other words. Why did he use this word? There's only one other time it's found in the entire Bible. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek reading of the Old Testament translation, which is what the New Testament writers were often interacting with when they read the Old Testament, it's found in one other place. Here it is. Isaiah 35. I'll just read it. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He'll come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears, and here's the word, of the deaf unstopped. Then they shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away forever. Listen, Mark is saying, I'm choosing this word to tell you Isaiah 35 has happened in this event. It's inaugurated it. This is just awesome. What he just said, when the time of fulfillment would come, the Lord God would come, and what's he going to do? He's going to unstop ears, and he's going to let the blind see. Two things. And then the lame are going to leap. And guess what? The mute are going to sing. Boy, this place should be just bursting out when the songs go. What we just studied today is the description of Isaiah 35. And here's my question. Shouldn't the disciples have been doing this by now? Shouldn't they have been leaping for joy? Shouldn't they have been seeing and hearing? Shouldn't they have been the ones proclaiming it everywhere? It's going to take us to the most glorious moment when, after the blind man is healed in the second section, Jesus looks at the disciples and says, now, who do you say that I am? And they all say, you're the Christ. Tongues are just loosed. To which I say, are your eyes seeing and are your ears opened? Has your tongue been loosed? Why do I say that? Well, how beautiful. They had been blind, but they could finally now see. They had been deaf. Their ears had been unstopped. They could finally now hear. And that's captured in their confession. That's captured in what Anna did today. That's captured in yours. They can't keep silent. This is not a one-time stand-up, Anna. You can't keep silent now. This is who you are because you see and because you hear. But think of Peter, who would say, there are certain qualities that if you're not practicing, you're going to be blind. You're going to have a blinding effect in your life. You need this constantly to see and to hear and to have the tongues loose. That's what worship does for you. That's why we're here today. That's why you need to be here. But you'll never understand or appreciate Christianity. You'll never know what we're really about until this happens. The disciples just learned what their mission would be. To the ends of the earth, they would now go, and with their message, they would bring a world. Think about the imagery here. These friends bring this deaf man to Jesus. They would go, they just saw their ministry. They would go out and carry the deaf and the blind to Jesus, spiritually. This is what ministry is. I'm bringing the deaf and the blind to Jesus today. And you're saying, open them. And he says, I'll do it. That's what my day is. That's what I love to do. That's what I've come to do. So you have the whole ministry of Isaiah 35 pictured here of what theirs would be. But for them to ever be effective, first, they had to know they needed this. And I say that to you today. And I say it to me. It's a sad thing that Israel should have been proclaiming their Messiah. They should have been hearing. They should have been crying out at the reception of Jesus. Are you? Or do you still have that sour attitude like a Pharisee who sits here and wants to mumble about everything? It would be a tragedy to sit and listen to sermons for years, have Jesus proclaimed, and never have your ears unstopped and your eyes to see so that you can truly sing from the heart, which has been the whole issue here. The Lord will have tongues loosed. Who can forget when he comes into the temple and the scribes were furious because they heard the children crying out in the temple? Remember that? Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. Do you hear what they're saying, these little children, about you? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've perfected praise. I'll have my singers. Listen, if we won't hear and tongues are mute, he'll raise up an entirely new generation, and it'll shock this generation of children to sing his praise. But I think so much of this church, I think so much of what the Lord's seen in you, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done here. With real fire and joy in the heart, we're speaking and singing. That gives me the greatest hope, because he's willing. He's willing. It's not that he's saying this may not. He's willing to do it. But we are beggars all. Martin Luther on his deathbed. This is true. Have you asked Jesus for help? It's been the theme here. It really won't matter after your ears are open, by the way, and your tongues are loosed and your eyes are seeing. It won't matter what happens after that in your life. It really won't. Did you hear what they said about Jesus? He does everything well. I heard the story of James Boyce when he was diagnosed with cancer and shockingly given 6 months to live. Everyone was in a panic. You know what he said to everyone? He looked at this verse. Be at peace. God does everything well. That's when you know in the face of the worst circumstances that your ears are unstopped. That your eyes see, and you want to tell everyone the wonderful things the Lord has done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these passages are overwhelming in power, which is what Mark's gospel is, a gospel of power of the Son of God. And it makes us bow the head today, asking something from you sincerely from the heart. That as Peter understood, we need to be born again by the Spirit. Would you unstop our ears? Would you give sight to our eyes so that our tongues would be loosed? That we would give glory to you for so great a salvation? And then once having been born again, we know that if we don't practice the qualities that Peter told us to practice, it can have a blinding effect on our spiritual life. And thus we still need the same gospel, whether we've been here from an infant to Anna's age or all the way into the hundreds. We still need your help. It never goes away to unstop our ears, to touch our eyes, so that our mouths would be open. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. And thank you that you're willing and that you've shown your love to this church and these people. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. For blessed are our eyes, for they see, and our ears, for they hear. And now let us our tongues be loosed to sing your praise in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, you're listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Chris will be back in just a moment. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. And now, once again, as promised, here's Pastor Chris.
If you're enjoying what you're hearing here at Abounding Grace Radio, please stop by our website, agradio.org. We have put together a large list of resources there for you, not only articles, blog articles, maps to churches, but also you can find all the podcasts and videocasts there, categorized for you by date and topic for you to access at your convenience. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Please take time to stop by.
Thank you, Chris. And friend, thank you for joining us here today on Abounding Grace. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.